Pecan, $4.99. You've been hiding all day, Kyle?
Yeah, I can barely see him. He's just a floating head.
It's been getting drop shipped into Malevolon Creek on suicide difficulty, and those robots, they've been coming for me with the red glowing eyes and just merciless. Some of them have chainsaws instead of arms, and they're gigantic, so they take tons. Your whole magazine.
Are you dreaming about Helldivers yet?
Not yet, but it's coming. I try to like watch some Land Before Time or something right before bed so I dream about friendly cartoon dinosaurs.
I was watching Kyle play yesterday. I was playing AOE and I had Kyle's stream up, and he and the gang are running around playing Helldivers. And there were a couple times that like I'd look over and seemed like Kyle was doing a really good job killing the aliens, and then he would just explode out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In a way that it doesn't seem like it was a skill issue. It's not like it was going bing, 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 and then Kyle ignored it. It's just like, man, this is going wet, bang. Just
that's dead. Part of the charm of the game, I think, in that you are this expendable team where, like, many, many times, you don't need to survive the mission. You just need to get the thing done. So you'll drop down to this planet, and it's like, you know, upload the data or you know, pump the fuel or whatever. You do the fetch quest at once. And then we'll all die, and I'll be like, damn. And it'll go, mission accomplished.
Oh, you don't have to survive to win.
No. You get some bonus points or whatever, but like, it doesn't give a shit. I mean, the difficulty we play on is called suicide mission already, so they understand if we don't make it.
Dude, I have the opposite story. You're on a suicide mission. It's hard to win, et cetera, et cetera. I'm playing Colin in Mortal Kombat 1, right? And neither of us are good. This is not a tale of two champions facing off. But he doesn't block. He never, ever heckin' blocks. And I'm like, this is a weakness I can obviously exploit. Mm-hmm. So I mostly fight him with my big special moves and fireballs and et cetera. But if the going gets rough, I get close and just give him like medium powered punches so quickly he can't walk away. And he never, ever blocks, ever. So it's
you can juggle in that game.
Can you?
You like throw the enemy into the air and keep them stay in the air. Just...
So I'm not that good at it, but maybe I'll figure that out. Anyway, so I'm just like, I'm going to abuse this kid's lack of blocking until he learns to block. Here, this is parenting, people. Anyway, it turns out he's trying to block, and he's like, Dad, it won't block. And I'm like, it's right trigger. He's like, it just won't block, Dad. Stop kicking me. It won't block. And I'm like, right trigger, bitch. Not like that, but yeah. Anyway, I check it out afterwards.
Broken controller.
He's using this scuff controller where the trigger doesn't move all the way. And he's letting French blinking with a broken controller.
It's got those like hair triggers that you can dial in, and it's either dialed all the way in or not, or so far out that you can't even depress it. Or maybe it's pressure sensitive in some games now, so you need the full range of motion anyway.
That's it.
I like to imagine like you're still barely winning.
Dude, sometimes, yeah. I like it, basically when I get into trouble, I exploit his weakness, and now I realize I'm exploiting his
problem. You're lucky I give you a punch button, boy. Get back in there. Keep kicking.
Those fighting games are, it seems like getting into them would be so difficult because you watch a clip of someone who knows what they're doing, and it's like, oh, so if I make one mistake against them, it's like playing in Super Smash Bros. Melee. Kyle mentioned like keeping someone in the air. Mm-hmm. Like good players, like they hit you in the air and then you'll just never hit the ground again. Like they will just keep you in the air.
When we went to Colorado, I played Smash for the first time ever. And
so fun.
One of the guys there was ZT. He's the guy who died in a motorcycle accident a few months later. But he was playing us 1v2ing us. And he would juggle one of us while the other one tried to get back on the map on the other side. And then the one he was juggling, he'd throw that one off the mountain and then go and get the one who had recovered. And so one of us was always off the map, just trying to get our toenails dug into earth again. And the other was always just bup, 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 just some sort of crazy combo that we couldn't even understand because we don't know how to play the fucking game.
He does. Oh, yeah. It's so frustrating to play Smash against someone who knows what they're doing because they'll be like, oh, I'm going to use Donkey Kong. And in your head, you're like, oh, Donkey Kong. I know enough to know he's not like an S tier character. But I think Donkey Kong is just a character that players have fun with because he has an ability where he can like grab you and throw you down. And usually you're throwing them and bouncing them off the map. Like and then they can kind of recover. They're going up. If you're really good, you can like punch them a couple times, stall them out, grab them, then do some sort of side jump where you're both floating off the map. Then you throw them off the map straight down so there's no recovery. And then they magic. When I try that, my Donkey Kong falls to his death soon after, but they somehow triple jump.
They
back
double
up.
Jump off your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to keep in mind, Woody, the maps are pretty much all islands floating in.
Floating
the
island. Yeah. I've played.
Yeah. Yeah.
My daughter's boyfriend is good at the game, but he's kind of, he's actually a very good gamer, but he's kind enough not to like, he doesn't rub it in. That's all. Yeah. I mean, he'll
smart
let you
guy.
Think you've got a chance.
Smart guy. You know?
Maybe you'll win, you know, one out of three.
He's letting you get to like 200% on his character. You do a lot of damage and then he brings the hammer down, or maybe he lets you get a punch in here or there.
Yeah. Even like goofy games, we play Super Mario Party Superstar or something like that. It's a party game and it's silly. And there's a big luck component in it.
Yeah.
But he has all the angles figured out. And like he knows how to win the mini games and he knows how to make all the smart decisions. There's, I don't know how many maps there are, but he's memorized them all. So he knows when he's closest to the stars or whatever. And he's just like barely trying and doing well all the time. Yeah,
that's a frustrating game. So many of my memories, there's no middle ground in my Mario Party memories between absolute joy and mirth and total dejection, because it's either like you show up to all the stars first, seemingly. And Kyle, have you played Mario Party?
No.
So you're on a, it's a board game basically. And there's a bunch of random, you know, you do a roll and then hopefully you come across Toad. And Toad can give you a star for a price. And then after Toad gives you a star, he teleports to a random point on the map. Or to me, it always seemed random. I guess this guy knows. And so if you're like two spaces behind me and you've been angling to get to Toad for a while and you roll a two and I roll a six, I not only steal the star you were going to have, which is like the big metric by which you win, you also might now be, instead of on the cusp of getting a star, you are a million miles from it. It's beyond frustrating. And if you play against someone who knows how to play the mini games, you're fucked, because they'll be like, oh, bumper balls. And then you have to be on this little rotating platform where you bump into each other on balls and try and knock them into the sea. And I didn't know there were tactics in this, but there are.
Yeah. Dude, my son heckin' like Kyle's it. Like, okay, we'll go to the fish store. He goes straight to the chairs, opens his phone, and starts studying Mario Party Superstar tactics, you know, so that the next time we play, he's a little better informed.
Yeah.
Like that's what Kyle would do.
I did that with Pokemon. I remember buying, or I mean, I was eight. So my grandma buying for me the Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Red guide and like flipping through it. And in my head, having this idea of like, I'm going to fuck up everybody on the playground now. Look at this. There's a chart here that says all like what all the different types of Pokemon are good against. Like I wasn't allowed on the fucking family computer. It was just my dad's work computer in the 90s. And so all of that information was like from that book. Man, good memories. I used to just like on road trips, read through it.
Did it help you win?
It did. I was in my first grade class. I fucked kids up. Yeah. And my mom, she used to
and
go.
Not just because I had already hit puberty.
Yeah, not just because I was so big. I remember I went, my mom used to go to, I was probably seven at the time. So fresh to Pokemon, but all I did was think about Pokemon. And she went to Curves, you know, that workout place for women. I don't even know if it's still around, but she would take.
I own eight.
You ate Curves. That'd be so funny. You just and the rest of your monitors are all just Curves.
Terrible, terrible investment. Terrible investment.
Terrible investment. All these fat bitches.
So much purple workout equipment.
There was a daycare in the Curves, and so she would like drop us off there, and it would be all the other kids of the workout moms, and the kids there had their own little clan of like. You'd go and then you'd play Pokemon against each other. Everyone would bring their Game Boys. I'd actually kind of look forward to going there. And there were kids who'd be like it wasn't, you know, there's no way this was standard Pokemon battles, because there were kids who were like, I've got a Charizard and a Venusaur and a Blastoise. And it's like, whoa, this guy's got all three of the starters. That means his mom must have bought him a second Game Boy and two games so he could trade it over. This kid's loaded. And I would win. You would bet Pokemon cards sometimes and be like, I bet you up my holofoil Nidoking to your Blastoise. in this game at that in our battle, and the winner gets both of them. And I remember once feeling like a genius, being like, yeah, I'll battle you for it, but I just have like a Charmander, a Squirtle, a Bulbasaur, a Rattatat, a Pidgey. I'm naming all these low tier bad Pokemon. And so this kid thinks he's got it easy. Didn't mention I had prevented evolution on all of them. So I was telling the truth, but they were all max stat level 100. And so I rolled this kid. And if I recall, I either saved my own Holofoil Nidoking promotional card or I got his. So it was a big day in 1997. Still have that
card to this day.
Don't have any of it. It was all damaged in flood water in a basement.
Yeah, that's what they told you. They wanted you to get a new hobby.
No, yeah. I saw the. You think that my dad lied to me about that?
Yeah,
you think he caused all that damage in the basement?
I got two serious pieces of bad news. Well, your dog had to go live on a farm, and there was a flood. I know it was a freak storm that didn't happen at our house. There was a flood, and it flooded all of your Pokemon cards, and also
selectively.
Also, your baton that you've been twirling so much after school, that was also completely destroyed.
Yeah, my dad would have been like, yeah, all that gay shit, your Lord of the Rings cards, all that nonsense. Yeah, it's all ruined now. Sorry. Sorry, homo.
Kyle, you know that YouTube channel you recommended to me about a week ago? It had sci-fi stories.
Yeah. Might be called that.
Yeah, there's at least three of them. Anyway, that one was really long. It was like eight videos, or maybe it was eight parts, but five videos, whatever it was. YouTube now is like, oh, this dude fucking loves AI reading sci-fi stories.
Loves it.
So yeah, just like, can't get enough. So it gave me more. Dude, I am hooked now. I am hooked. A lot of the stories follow the same like
structure
in that humans are very good at war, very badass, and very courageous. That all the other beings, aliens, races, etc., they think they're tough, but once they go up against, like, it just turns out that humans are basically brothers that have been fighting each other since they learned to walk, and these other guys who haven't been in a fight just don't understand how dirty tactics get, how overwhelmed, how a society that values weapons.
Yeah, it's like they're noobs at war because they never fought amongst themselves as they evolved. That like so many times they're either herbivores or they're a hive mind where like everybody just gets along. And so like fighting another race, it's just, they've never done that. And and so often their tactics are wrong, or often they're like, oh no, that would be a suicide mission. We wouldn't do that. And it's like, the humans don't think that way. They're like, no, you hurt our babies. We're coming for you, all of you. And they're like, all right, you got us. Let's figure out this surrender tactic. And they're like, no, we're coming for all of you. Yeah. All of you.
We told you before you hurt the children that if you hurt the children, we're glassing your planet. And then they go and hurt the children anyway. And the humans are like, all right. Midway through, they ask for some mercy. And every single time the humans are like, fuck around and find out. Dude, I watched one day. It brought me to tears. Basically, it was that story. They all follow the same structure, and I did really have tears. I'm like, I hope no one walks in this room. But humans were a middling race. They saved another race's babies, 25 of them. They had 800 deaths saving these 25 kids. But the race that they saved was really grateful, and they sort of, on the down low, gave them a lot of tech. All right. Fast forward like 200 years. You know this one too.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And all the other races are really not into humans. They're trading with them, but they're not letting them in this intergalactic NATO. So then the hive comes, these insects. And these insects are fucking brutal. And NATO meets them with 2,000 ships. They escape with 1,000 left. Meanwhile, of the 6,000 they attacked with, they lost like 100 and one good one. So it's a problem. This race who gave the humans tech calls for help. And NATO's like, you know what? We'll give you your own troops back, but we don't want to fuck with these guys again. They're too scary. And the humans are like, we're coming. And the aliens are like, can we get like an update? Like, they're going to be here in 5 days. And they're like, sit tight. We're coming. Anyway, the aliens, the insects, all they've ever said is like, give and leave. Those are like, they come to your planet and they say, give and leave. And if you don't, they wreck you. So with the humans, they just said leave. And they sent back a video of humans on Earth burning a hive alive as all the wasps ran away in flames, and they're laughing and chortling, and they just think it's the fucking funniest thing to watch the hive. And then they add, we're coming. Anyway, humans, not the least bit fucking scared of these guys. And obviously they wreck house, they save the planet, and have their way with the bad guys. And it's just, I am loving this brain candy of humans good. We can destroy all the other races in the universe.
There's one where, as you join, like that, by the way, the one you just mentioned is one of my favorites. It's ongoing right now. I like that one a lot. But there's one where, like, when you join the intergalactic NATO or whatever, you like pick like a title or like a little motto, what are your people up to? So you'll be like, wow, we're the Califrax. We're the ones who fight, and like, we're the Juju Bees. We're the ones who conquer. And this one race, they're like the Marzipan, but we're the ones who what was it?
Knock.
Like destroy or something like that. And the humans are like, we're the ones who run. And oh, okay. So like they got a reputation, I guess, for being cowards, because also it seemed like humans were really into appeasement. They would always negotiate, always not wanting to fight. And so the like Marzipan people make war on the humans eventually. And after the end of the exhausting war, like, oh no, that was a translation error. We're not the ones who run. We're the ones who pursue. you see, our ancestors were persistence hunters. We would just pick a buffalo and chase it until it died. And that's what we're going to do to you. And they just follow them from system to system. And they're just dying a little as they go. And at the end, there's just one member of the royal family. And he lands on a planet that has ion storms. So it, no matter what, it's a one-way trip. If you go down there, they're like, come get me. You never will. But they do anyway. Not only do they send a guy to get him, whoop his ass and tie him up, but they spend a decade inventing the technology to land on the ion planet and get him back so that they can do stuff to him. It's fun. They're all really spiteful in the end, usually.
Yeah. It seems like I haven't listened to any of this, but it seems like all the stories, the humans end up being the best at war.
Yes.
The recurring theme.
It seems, the but usually not by having, sometimes we have the best weapons, but oftentimes it's just a dogged relentlessness that helps us do well. Kyle, I cut you off.
No, that's about it. Yeah, pretty much what you said. And they're all, some of them are AI created, I'm sure, but a lot of them are Reddit writing responses that they then, you know, throw on some pretty space pictures that are somewhat relevant and then have AI read. So
have you messed around with like AI story structure? I haven't at all, but I think that might be interesting to be like, give me the plot of a serial killer psychological thriller with at least four twists and just see what it does.
I to fool the police at every turn, and it needs stuff to be realistic. I'm not going to do these things.
Yeah, in the style of Martin Scorsese, do this.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't looked at that. I was going to say the Oscars happened. Did you see John Cena come out completely naked?
I did.
Only that guy. I didn't see what he did after he got on stage.
Shredded.
You think he's somehow on in the back?
He's somehow bigger than I thought he would be. His arms are like baffling. He's huge.
His frame, like when you draw his shadow, he is so big, or like in circumference. I don't know.
Is he really tall too?
No, I don't.
Pro wrestler though, they tend to be big.
I bet he's like 6'1" or something like that. I don't think he's colossal.
Okay.
But he's ridiculously shaped. And he's an older guy now, too.
6'1",
he's
not, you're right. Damn.
Okay. But he came out holding nothing but like the card over his dick. That was pretty funny.
What did he do then? Like, how did he read the card?
I didn't watch the rest of it. I just watched
me neither.
He held the card there, and I think he's presenting the best award for, he goes, wardrobe. And then like the gift comes, like, because that's the punchline. He was presenting the award for wardrobe new.
Okay. I just saw the photo of it and was like, holy shit, that guy's monstrous.
Cup on. Okay.
All right. Okay. You know, well,
keeping it classy
out there. A lot of people there
skin
watching
colored cup. Yeah, that so you think he's natty?
What is he like? 55?
Yeah, there's no way he is, but my God.
He's a great guy, though. I like that guy. He does a lot of like charity work and a lot of work with like sick kids all the time. There was that one autistic kid 46. From Ukraine that like, I think his parents didn't want to explain. They didn't know how to explain to their kid that the Russians are invading. We have to leave Ukraine. So they said, we're going to see John Cena. Yeah, don't cry. We're going to see John Cena. Come on, pack your shit. And like fled to Poland. And I guess John Cena heard about it and was like, he is going to see John Cena. And like showed up at the house and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know if you should lie about that off the start. Because they had no way of knowing that John Cena was going to show up and make that kid's weekend or whatever.
They didn't. I guess they were pretty, really.
That's
really
high risk.
Banking a lot on. He was going to get over it, though. You know, a couple hot dogs and.
Couple hot dogs, a little WWE on TV.
Like you buy him like a shirt and like watch some WWE. Like yeah, you don't get to meet. Maybe buy him some tickets. Maybe go to. We're going to an event next year if the war stops. We could do that.
They told the lie and the lie came true. It's the if you build it, they will come.
There you go. Nothing Fair wrong enough. With that.
Did you guys ever watch professional wrestling?
We've talked about this a bit before. Like I, when I was 4 or 5, I would watch it with my grandpa. A little bit, but I had no way of comprehending what I was even looking at. You know what I mean? And then later on, I sort of enjoyed, this is when I'm like 20, 25. I enjoyed watching the montages of The Rock and people like that on YouTube. I like that part. I like little montages of their best bits on the microphone. But when they start wrestling, I click and change to the next thing because that all those antics, even if it's an impressive stunt, where they're clearly doing backflips from very high and there's ladders and, oh, that hurts. I don't want to see that shit. Like, I don't care. You're fake fighting. That's cool. I get you're telling a story, but that part of it's lost on me. I do like when they rant and rave on the mic before. The Rock in particular was good. Hulk was good. Ric Flair might be the best. Stone Cold Steve Austin with the beer cans and spitting in people's faces. When Hulk Hogan went Hollywood Hulk Hogan and like reinvented himself and he's spray painting on people's faces and Vince McMahon, who turns out to be a real deviant, I guess, was amazing. Like he'd give his body every inch of the way. Like maybe he asked those ladies to do some things they didn't want to do, but he was out there taking those licks too. He was taking chairs.
He's jumping around. Yeah.
If the guy at the top of the organization sacrifice his body like that, then shouldn't everyone on the way down be able to do what it takes with their body to make the organization successful?
I bet he said, I bet he'd use stuff
lead
like
from
that.
The front.
He'd be in the bedroom. Like, have you ever taken a folding chair to the face from Bam Bam Bigelow?
Come on. From Bam Bam Bigelow.
This load
you can handle it up. You can handle a cock. If I could take a chair to the face from Bam Bam Bigelow, you can handle a cock.
Bam Bam Bigelow is a real guy. He died in 2007. R.I.P. R.I.P. to Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah,
you can tell from this guy's body that he was going to die. Yeah.
Trump's the man. Look at that. Like, he doesn't look.
Dude. If you're a Democrat or anti-Trump or whatever that spectrum is, it's been a good week for you.
His bald hair. Look at the like over the top theater style acting is something that's always
you got to emote. You're on a stage.
You have to emote because they're like doing theater, and so he's got to. Every time I see Vince McMahon's face in these, it's so emotive, so over the top. It's funny.
Who was that guy, the black guy on the right, who was really well built?
Oh,
I have no idea.
That's
I'd wager a professional wrestler. That
Bobby,
huge.
That's Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley. I don't know that name. Damn.
Yeah, I knew that one. Jack didn't help me at all.
Bobby Lashley alive. Good for him.
Yeah. No, it's been a bad week for Trump. Not only did I guess he say some more shit about that that
Jean
lady
Carroll.
With three names, but which is, you know, maybe they sue him again. But also, you know, they want their money from the other time still, that 80 mil or whatever it is. And then New York wants its half bill. Let's just round up. And then Biden, I think, got a bump in the polls. I'm sure he did.
After he did, that
performance.
Yeah.
It was a very good performance. And on top of that, I haven't seen it because I don't care to, but the Republican response from that Alabama representative housewife lady is apparently cringy and so bad that even the Republicans were like, they picked a female representative from the state of Alabama to do the Republicans' response to the State of the Union. Usually you pick like a fucking fast talk and ready to fucking nail them to the wall and each and every point along the way and get people fired up with a crowd around you kind of guy. And they, this lady's around her kitchen table, which, by the way, her kitchen, just round, just in my head, like an $80,000 kitchen. All right. We're
bad optics.
What are we doing here? You know what I mean?
Undercut it, I think. I heard the refrigerator was 30 grand.
Yeah.
She has two of them, Woody.
She pulled two of those.
If the fridge is 30, what's the kitchen? Like, dude, like if you told me you had a $30,000 bathroom, I wouldn't guess it, the whole
maybe
bathroom
it's $80,000. $30,000 fridge sounds impossible to me. So maybe it's two 15s because I know they're, I know, they, she I has the matching. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's the fridges whose doors look like the cabinets. It's all like she had two of those.
Dude, just like 3-4 years ago, Nancy Pelosi got shit on because she did a video with her $50,000 fridge. Like, how do you not learn from that?
It's a bad look. Like, it's a bad look.
Hey, maybe we shouldn't show our fucking
incredible
$80,000 kitchen.
Yeah. They're so wealthy that the average voter can't even fucking comprehend the money.
Optically, she was a bad tactic.
It just looked fake. So all the Republicans, it feels like their biggest knock on Biden is he took a Red Bull or something. Like, it's basically accusing him of cheating, which is the fondest compliment you can give a gamer. Yeah. And then their response was equally terrible. Just so bad. She was over the top. Like, in the same sentence, she'd go from like big smiles to near tears and back to big smiles again. It looked fake and creepy. And she was kind of pretty. She's a rising star in the Republican Party. They often give the State of the Union response to a rising star. And I guess it's a hard job because they fumble it a lot. Marco Rubio did terribly. What was his name? Vindel or something? Vivek? Not Vivek Ramaswamy. Robbie Jindal? Something close to that.
Bobby Jindal?
Yeah, it must be him. He fouled it up, and now she fouled it up. And it's become this, like, almost Republican tradition of fucking up this response.
You want someone who was on the debate team at fucking whatever school your daddy went to, whoever legacied you into Harvard. Like, you want to be, you want a guy who is ready on the fly. He's like, to equally, like, support the point or attack it, you know? Like, and any point, all of the talking points, it's not that hard.
There aren't that many.
We could sit here and name the like the core talking points and the things without even knowing before Biden's speech. We could have been like, all right, we need a gun control response. He's going to say this, that, and the other. We need a whole thing framed around that. That's
and then
immigration. Also, this, every
she was a terrible speaker where she messed up all her points and acted weird. And the core of her speech was kind of a lie. She talked about this immigrant who came over and raped this person and how we need to improve Biden's immigration policies.
Falsehood.
But that happened under W, not Biden. It's a really old story.
You talked about that story instead of that girl who was like literally just murdered by an illegal.
Right. Yeah,
is that the one that Marjorie Taylor Greene was screaming about?
That's the one that Biden called Laken Riley, I think is right. And Biden got her name wrong, called her Lincoln.
It sounded more like
Biden called an illegal immigrant. And then Biden's apology afterward was for saying illegal immigrant and that they built this country.
That's
no apology to the family.
He just called her an illegal is what he called her.
And illegal. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. They are illegal.
Then they called him on it, and his first response was, well, she wasn't here supposed legally. To be here. Or he wasn't here legally.
Yeah.
And then later on, he apologized for that, which I think is a bad look. He should have just doubled and tripled and quadrupled down like Trump would.
Yeah, the first take I saw, there was an aircraft engine running in the background, and he was like, do I apologize? No, I don't apologize. She's not supposed to be here. Like, so he said it like that. Like
she is illegal. He should have stuck with that.
Yeah,
but he backed off of that.
Backed off,
and then Trump said he's going to cut Medicare and Social Security, and now that's getting a lot of attention. It's not a good way to win elections.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
But he can just be like, "Nah, all right." Seemed like you guys didn't like that idea. Okay, whatever. I don't care.
His party's already backtracked. Biden's already running ads. His party's already backtracked from that, which is a bad look. Again, now he's doing what Biden did with the legal. But Biden's running ads playing Trump saying he's going to cut it. So
I wonder the effectiveness of political ads anymore and where they're played, I guess, because I don't see them, you know, and I don't know if y'all see them. I don't listen to the radio very much.
It's much less effective than they used to be.
They have to be, but I don't know where the money goes. Like, I'm sure, isn't it $1 billion every year that gets spent, like $500 million each team or something like that?
Maybe
it's $1 billion each team. Or each cycle or whatever.
It's a huge sum.
But where does it go anymore?
It goes to social media.
You know
media
where it
companies?
Should go? YouTube ads. That's where they should invest their money.
I mean, you should invest on this show. Dude, I would love if Trump threw some money behind our show and Woody had to read pro-Trump ads, that would be so funny.
Yeah, make me read them.
Dude, I'd read a fucking Biden ad. I'd be like, oh, yeah. I don't give a shit.
You used to say if the money's there, we don't care, right on the placard behind.
It's fine. Dude,
we care a little.
Yeah,
dude, no, dude, that Haitian guy who's eating people could pay me, and I'd be like, and I'd be like, general barbecue is what's right for Haiti.
Is there a Haitian man eating people?
You didn't hear about all the cannibalism going on in Haiti?
You're kidding me, right? So just for everyone's sake, Haiti has fallen and the gangs and prisoners have taken it over. But you're telling me there's a cannibal problem as well on top of the other stuff.
Yes. Yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare in Haiti.
Can't get a win, Haiti.
No.
So
huge losses.
Like one cannibal, like one hungry fellow, or are we talking about like a serial cannibalization?
Apparently a serial issue of cannibalization going
on. Jesus Christ,
Haiti.
There's a gang leader whose name is Barbecue.
I told you, his name is Barbecue.
I didn't process.
Nah. I'm sorry. This is like Fallout New Vegas shit. Like, are you serious?
Yes. How do you guys not know this?
Are they the fiends? Did the fiends take over?
They're eating people. I saw a clip today. I was scrolling through Twitter and I'm trying to find like the stuff I interact with is like hockey highlights and jokes and like Age of Empires stuff. And there's a clip of a dude who's like almost dead having his penis bitten off. And I'm like, ah! Oh, and then the guy is like standing over him, like eating it, like, yes.
You saw a man eat another guy's dick.
I saw it like, quite literally.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that.
It was disgusting.
Don't judge.
Scrolled past that quickly.
And yeah, he looked happy to be doing the eating.
The eater so was happy. Overjoyed. Couldn't have been happier. Christmas morning on his face.
I'm not following this. Is Jimmy Chizar Barbecue?
I believe that might be.
I think
you
found an actual barbecue restaurant.
Yeah.
He's leader of the notorious G9 and family gang. And he says he's ready to make an alliance with the devil. He's ready to sleep in the same bed as the devil as he destroys police stations and other government facilities.
Yeah.
Damn.
Dude, the names of like these warlords I was reading, like number one, warlord named Barbecue eating his enemies. There was also a warlord named Mosquito.
Oh,
and
no.
He had a rival warlord who named himself Mosquito Spray.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is bananas what's going on in Haiti.
Mosquito Spray.
They do not have it
plus
together.
Plus or minus 100 million. How much aid do we send?
Hopefully none. Hopefully just let it play out.
It's already
Have we already sent them? Yeah. I'm going to guess 100 million.
That's not allowed.
Wait, it was plus or minus 100 million.
Yes, so you have to say plus or minus.
Wait, no, you have to give us a number.
100 million is like the zero on the fucking roulette wheel.
No, zero is the zero, right? So I'm choosing 100 million. That covers between zero and 200.
I'll take the over on that then, if that's the line. Plus.
I'm going to give you the answer now.
Do you actually know?
Why? What happened?
That's 130 million. 130 million that we are sending to Haiti. And I hope that I hope it doesn't go to barbecue. I hope it doesn't.
Oh, it's going right to barbecue. What do you think happens when you send money to a place run by warlords and chieftains? It's immediately taken.
I don't understand what was wrong with my guess. What rule did I break?
Well, I picked an over and under, and you said exactly the middle.
Oh, I thought plus or minus 100 million in my mind meant guess within 100 million. Like try to come within 100 million. I think that's what plus or minus means.
Maybe I phrased it poorly then. Well, in any case, we're sending him some money. I'm glad we are because, I mean, you don't want like a escape from New York style island down there. You want a prosperous Caribbean nation. Caribbean, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like Haiti's never been a prosperous Caribbean nation.
Give it to the DR. I don't know. They seem better
somehow.
The Dominican is like not letting any Haitians.
Same island. It's the same island, right? Like
the Dominicans want nothing to do with Haiti.
Crooked island or fingery island, and like half of it is the Dominican Republic. You know that place where those dark skinned hotties come from, and you go on vacations if you're cheap.
Baseball players.
What kind of wall must they have?
A well guarded one.
Zach, find the border wall between the Dominican Republic and Haiti. I bet there's cannons on top.
One dude with a clipboard on a dirt road.
It's a minefield.
I was reading that the Dominican Republic is like, we are not accepting anyone. Like, no, you can't come here.
Shucks.
You're going to come here and then you're going to eat us. We do not want any of your nonsense over here ruining our baseball development programs and beaches.
Well, that's the construction. It looks like they're, honestly, for Haiti, that's some impressive shit. Like, they're putting rebar in their concrete.
I think this is the Dominican side.
Well, let's say it. Okay.
I'm looking at the wall.
That's effective. It's like,
oh, that's better than the one I saw. The one I saw is like 3 feet tall.
Yeah, like, doesn't work. They're tall.
You don't have to be that tall to scale a 3 foot wall.
Yeah.
At least 3 feet.
You can just jump.
I could scale a 6 or 8 foot wall, I think.
Yeah.
Look at that. Well, I guess it depends what it's made out of, too. You know, I was barbed wire up there. I like walls. I always enjoy tower defender games. So I like the idea of sort of plotting the defense. There's a play style like that in the Helldivers games. You call down a bunch of sentry guns and minefields and shit. Everybody hates it. Cause when I call this thing down and it spins and then clusters mines everywhere.
And friendly fire is a
thing. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So there's just a minefield that no one's expecting while it's a bit like Nazi zombies. You'll be training a huge amount of scary shit behind you, and you're really hoping that the way ahead is going to be clear. You can juke some, but a minefield really throws a wrench in the gears of the machine. So everybody hates the minefield. I'll hear the other guy with his... So many gamers have speech impediment. Goddamn minefield! I'm digging that game a lot. I wish that there was more satire. I don't feel like there's enough. But one thing that's interesting is they seem to have like a dungeon master running the overall Galactic War. And my understanding of it is they're currently having an event where they pick the four planets that are they're like the border planets, like further back is super infested and this way is home systems. And we're gassing all four of those planets. And when I say we, I mean the entire Helldivers 500,000 player community. So the goal is to gas those planets enough times that the gas eradicates all the bugs. So there's a little ticker running and it goes out to like 4 or 5 decimal places. And you barely make an impact when you go down there and gas the planet. But there's so many people gassing the planet, the numbers moving rapidly on all four planets. So everyone's trying to gas all those planets.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So how does the dungeon master? So it's just a guy who's kind of coming up with the storyline.
Yeah.
As it goes. That's good. That's good to have a central dude in charge of that so that it kind of stays on tracks instead of them, you know, I guess losing the core. It seems like it's almost story based then.
The only thing that flies completely in the face of you being this expendable asset, by the way, the training mission is, oh my God, it might be 45 seconds long. It's like, here's how you shoot. Here's how you dive. And here's how you crawl. And then like confetti goes off and you step out in a cape and a suit. You're like, you're ready. and at first you don't get how absurd that is because you haven't seen the enemy yet. You're like, I'm ready. All right. And then like, There are spiders that are the size of like a skyscraper, like right away. And it's like, I wasn't ready at all for any of this shit. So despite all that, you have your own like battleship that you can just warp to each planet in. And so it's kind of neat that when we're
what's your ship name?
The Sword of the People. I am the only person who did not choose to name my ship the Wings of Redemption.
Which is
more interesting, Woody, than you would think, because basically you have two sliders. One is the first part of the name and one is the second part of the name. You don't get the input stuff. It's just, it'll be like the Sword of Unity. I'm sure that's available. Like lots of descriptives and lots of objects or whatever. And, everyone that I know has sent me a hey, guess what my ship's name? I'm like, the Wings of Redemption. Of course it's the Wings of Redemption. I know you're all in the Wings of Redemption. I'm sure there's streamers. Hey, I'm on the Wings of Redemption. It's roomy in here, huh? Like everybody's. Yeah, I get it. It's the Sword of the People.
He transcends his own fame.
He does.
He does.
I wonder how he's doing. I haven't heard from him in a bit.
No idea.
He actually reached out to me when I told that fainting story. Said I should go to a bunch of people reached out to me. I was like, I didn't ask any of you people for your opinion.
Yeah.
That's but why, like, Kyle and I didn't encourage you to go to the doctor at all. He's an adult. He can handle his own shit.
Yeah, you know, I said what I said. He heard it, and that's that. He's a grown man. I'm going to nag him. You know who nags? You know who nags, Taylor? Women. Women.
So
nags.
True.
He's so made true. A man decision about about himself, another man. So
what do you do when you have seizures in your bathroom? You stop the dad.
Well, what do I do? Well, it's irrelevant, Taylor. Because Woody is the one having the seizures in his bathroom. And what would Woody do is paramount in this scenario.
First thing I do is try
something. Well, but he can only remember the one seizure, Taylor. Does that bother you?
Not a bit.
I didn't have a single seizure myself. Yeah.
What they say about seizures is if you just move past it, that's it. You're done.
That's what Teddy Roosevelt said. That's a Teddy Roosevelt way. You know, he talked about how he cured his asthma. The thing is, people just grow out of asthma, and some people have mild asthma. But I'm sure, like, later on in life, he'd see somebody who's so asthmatic they could barely survive because it was olden times, and he'd fucking pussy, I cured my asthma with vigorous activity and mountain air and killing Mexicans. I saw a picture of like 18-year-old Teddy Roosevelt the other day. Oh my God, I'll never be that much man.
Dude, he was a looker. I don't think of him as a look. No, he was a handsome guy. Very handsome. Like he's on Reddit, right?
Like a beefy, muscular, just all. And you, when you see somebody from in a black and white photo who's beefy and like big and muscular, you know they're 100% natty. And not only that, but like, I don't know. Like they didn't have protein powder or anything. Like they got nothing. Yeah. They got nothing going for them. They're just eating whatever they ate back then, but doing something different than everybody else. Or just they're genetically a specimen. Oh.
I made him as FDR is the one I'm talking about.
No, I saw one where he's like, wasn't it? The one I saw is shirtless and maybe has a mustache or maybe mutton chops too, like a crazy old timey. And he looks a little sweaty. And he's sitting in a chair like that, but he's wearing shorts, I think. Like
this
he's
is on- the one that showed up when I searched 18-year-old Teddy Roosevelt.
Show this one, Zach.
And I think
it's Taylor's. It's exactly Taylor's. That one.
Mm.
He's not as big as I remember. He does. He's not a looker. I will say that. But he does not look like an imposing figure.
Looks like a professional or a professional at the time wrestler.
I think he's a boxer, right?
He's got Andre the Giant face.
I bet he was a boxer. People loved boxing back then.
Yeah. Show mine. Like that's young FDR.
Yeah, that makes sense. Still sitting down, though. Fucking lazy motherfucker.
He wasn't spending his walking years well.
No.
A lot of sitting. No.
Get up. Get out there.
He's making a lot of assumptions from this picture. He looks like an active guy to me.
He's always sitting in a chair. I mean, he was thin when he was in the chair, you know? He's fine. John Voight played him in a movie, and he has that moment where they tell him, sir, it's impossible. The distance is too far to strike Japan. And he, like, muscles his way out of the wheelchair. And he's like, never tell me what's possible. And then sits down in the chair. And then they get to work, like, making the thing work. It's good.
To get rid of the Japanese.
I think it's called the Doolittle Raid. Yeah. I don't know about him getting out of the chair. But first strike on Japan was, I think it's called the Doolittle Raid. And the planes, it was a one-way mission. Yeah, but it was like they wanted to send a message.
The Doolittle Raid. I didn't do much. Come on.
I get your point. I think it was like a naval officer named Doolittle. But they launched their modified planes off of a short carrier after a lot of retrofitting and sent them on what was a one-way trip. They had to fly over and ditch in China. Like literally jump out of their planes or crash land at the end of their journey because there was no way to come back. It was that much fuel, that much distance. Maybe they hit Tokyo. Could be wrong.
I'm not sure, but I think it was mostly undefended because they didn't think they were with anybody's range. We got a surprise on them.
Yeah.
like Kyle said, it wasn't really a devastating attack, but it made America feel good. Like, oh yeah, you did Pearl Harbor, but you know, it's not like we did nothing.
We did
a little.
We did something little too.
It's our Doolittle raid.
I never even heard of that.
The
Doolittle raid. Yeah,
never. I didn't know it by name like Kyle does, but I definitely knew that we counterattacked and flew in, and it was a one-way trip. I knew the rest.
Well, there's an awful movie if you want the dramatization. I think it's called Pearl Harbor. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s like a black sailor who, like, he's a cook or something, and him and the other cooks, they like, you ain't never gonna drive no boat. You just keep on cooking that chicken. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be the captain of one of these boats. You gonna salute too. And they're having a great time. It's the best part of the whole fucking movie. And then sure enough, Pearl Harbor happens, and somebody's got to get on that big fucking gun. And Cuba Gooding Jr. gets on
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, he's like, and the plane's flying right at him. It's a good scene. And then you got to deal with this love triangle between Ben Affleck and somebody else, and you just don't give a shit at all. Oof. Just hope they all die.
Man, this sounds like a terrible cast.
Ben Affleck is awful. He's a big
Cuba Gooding Jr. Really, I loved him in Snow Dogs when I was 12.
Academy Award winner.
Holds up. Radio made me laugh. Still does.
Never seen it.
I'm watching Masters of the Air. Is that what it's called? That Apple Plus thing that you guys wisely stopped watching?
Yeah. Why do you you always start to like, man, I fucking hate this.
I don't quit on shit. I've read so many books to the end that I didn't enjoy. But here I am again. Now the 100, who I've learned never met the Tuskegee Airmen. They're not like part of the history of the 100. I see they have been shoehorned in where they fly one mission with the 100, and now they're all in the POW camp together. And I guess they're going to break out next week. There's only one or two episodes left.
Now, but historically, would the Nazis house black people with white people?
I don't know the answer. I had the question too, though.
Apparently Hitler like talked to Jesse Owens after that event and everything, and it was Roosevelt who didn't talk to Owens.
That makes sense.
Because I guess we were more racist.
Hitler, man of the people.
Yeah, Hitler's not racist. He wasn't.
He just loved running. He just loved the
sport of running. Did Hitler speak much about black people? Like did he have a lot to say about that?
No, he was pretty singularly focused on Jews.
He didn't like gypsies much.
Well, he dealt with them firsthand.
Yeah.
No one does. Look, sometimes people get a reputation for a reason, all right? Not the Jews, of course. That's all a huge coincidence. Bullies, you know how bullies will pick the weak, smart, cool kid that is right about everything.
Exactly. So true. About to get a text that says you can keep your bank account.
Yes.
Just got a spandle on this, what that music was. Keep going. You guys heard it. The caller ID said voicemail. Like, that's not a clever trick. Like, your voicemail doesn't call you.
I don't like that either.
I'd be worried if it did. Why haven't you checked me in 18 years, Kyle? There could be something important in here. They'd text if it was. No, Kyle, it could be. Shut up, you. Delete, 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 delete. I don't check that shit. I haven't checked my voicemail since phones had screens on them.
If it's important, I will get an email about it, or I will get something in the mail about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And even mail,
get a text message about your taxes. I don't believe you.
Like I feel like I'm just right too young to appreciate physical mail because I hate it. 85% of it is horseshit scams, and the other 15% is like you owe money. There's never anything good. Birthday parties aren't a thing in your 30s anymore. Packages are great, but I know those are coming. I'm like, oh my god, the Amazon box. My sodas.
do you post things? When's the last time you like stuck something in an envelope, licked a stamp, stuck it to it, wrote an address on there very carefully, and then stuck it in a mailbox?
Like taxes, and it's like once a year I do that for taxes, and that's
actually it. Maybe my lawyer handled it, but the last thing would have been paying my fine, because on top of everything, it was like a $4,500 fine for smoking weed.
I don't think I've sent anything else other than taxes in
Taxes are a good one. I forgot about them. I print my taxes out and put a check in there and put it on paper because there's a theory. I don't even know if it's true that it makes you like more difficult to audit. You know, if all your stuff is submitted digitally, then it can be checked digitally and it's very easy to you know, just do the automatic audit anyway. So I'm like, I'll fucking handwrite my shit if I think it makes the IRS a little bit more likely to be like, fuck this guy. Anyone digital we can look into?
Does it have to be in English? Because I've got a code system I use.
Yeah, I submit my taxes in Wingdings.
To answer the spirit of the question, when I was on the TAT, that Transamerica Trail, the big 8,000-mile motorcycle ride, I sent postcards home just as a, you know.
Well, they're easy though. No envelope. You just drop them in.
Oh, right? They don't count. I thought they'd count for sure. It was kind of a pain to me. I don't know. You got to buy a stamp. You're on a trip.
Yeah,
I guess so. They should come. Why don't they come self-posted? That you know, they know what you're going to do with them.
You're going to post it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a bit point. Of a ripoff.
You should just increase my invention. Price by 50 cents. And
yeah, that's my invention. You self-post them. It's required. They should be self-posted.
Jeez. I don't know. Maybe then Hallmark. It would be easier for the fucking government once.
Like. I don't know about that. That's
I have no idea.
Thing, not having them be self-posted.
Hopefully we can get rid of physical mail in its entirety other than Amazon packages.
What about physical money? Is it you can't have one without the other. That's my rules.
Oh. Well, if those are your rules. Well, I do like physical money. It's much easier to avoid overspending on something if you're using physical money, and I know that's so trite and ridiculous, but like having like $500 in cash and spending that on something is so different psychologically than like, oh, take this card, this like distanced by a couple layers money.
That's definitely true. It's true with small amounts. Big amounts are even crazier. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. This is me from like 15 years ago. I would order a water with my food like again and again and again. And then every so often, like a $6,000 bill would come through and you'd be like, ah, fucking, let's just pay it, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like 7 years of no water with or no like drink with your food. But somehow like these big numbers, it's easy to make big mistakes or just.
That's a different one. You're like, you have to pay your bills or they come and get you with guns eventually. So you're like, you click that button, but you know, like a game console or something. You're right. Like if you imagine you had a big bag full of Sacagawea dollars.
Yeah, you had to haul them into the fucking GameStop.
All right, give me my snowmobile.
You might think differently about a 4080 versus a 4090. My wife got the rest. This is the graphics card. Mm-hmm. If you paid with real money, but instead, like, yeah, I don't know.
No, I'll whatever. Just click that other box.
I think they're an ounce each. I bet those coins are an ounce each. Like that, just so like 16 to a fucking pound.
Like, I remember like, being
it would be
like
a heavy fucking. You'd have hundreds of pounds.
I thought that like I remember the commercials for the Sacagawea dollars, and in my head, because I was like, however old I was, 10, 11, 12, like I thought like it was going to be a national transition to coins over bills, and I was like, this is pretty cool, like this is pretty neat. I had no idea it was like a commemorative thing that no one would see for what, 20 years after that fact. Have you seen a Sacagawea coin since?
People throw them they're in Folgers cans across America because people think they've got a collector's item or a gold coin or something.
Oh, like those maps where people will be like, I need the Delaware quarter, and then they'd like,
I wonder if that altered. Did that do anything for inflation that so many people stuck those quarters in those goddamn maps? What if that was a genius idea from like the president at the time? I can fix inflation. Trust me. We make people collect money.
No, we've just created a lot of autistics, unfortunately.
Imagine money no longer a currency, but a collector's item, something you hold on to.
Yeah.
Love it.
See, that's smart. Still like if I get a quarter in my change, sometimes I'll notice and it'll be like, oh, this is a North Dakota. I wonder if this is a rare one.
Dude, or I like if it's a common one. Yeah, and like for me in North Dakota would be really uncommon. For you, maybe less so. Maybe coins really? Make it that far.
I thought they were dispersed.
Oh, I don't think so. I think they're concentrated.
I remember getting
in your
like
area.
A new state every week or something. Like they were releasing a fucking I don't know, you had kids or do. So like maybe you remember the 101 Dalmatians time when like they were put at the Happy Meals at McDonald's during 101 Dalmatians, you got their 101 individually named Beanie Babies for each of the fucking dogs. And they were rolling out to the McDonald's like on a daily or weekly basis. So you had to keep buying Happy Meals if you were going to stay in business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't remember how that's connected to your thing, but we ate a lot of chicken McNuggets and hamburgers back then to collect those.
Oh, yeah. Babies. Do you remember the Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
Monopoly pieces.
Oh, I played Monopoly all the time. Yeah, I loved I
You'd
would
be like,
would
oh, fuck, I got Park Place. I'm just a boardwalk away from the place. And there's like yes. two boardwalks in the whole country.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, that was all.
It's the only time I've ever ordered a medium soda.
The guy who set up that system was gaming it like it was all like he gave the winning tokens to somebody and they used it on charity or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it ended up being a scam.
So fuck that piece of shit. Well, McDonald's wasn't scamming us. The guy running the game for McDonald's was like he didn't want some fucking hick eating his 50th hash brown that week to get it for some reason. That's who deserves it.
I've talked about this a bunch of times. You guys are too young for this, but in 1984. McDonald's did this thing. There's like a little sticker on the side of everything, the drink, the fries, and the burger. And you peel it off and it would give you an Olympic event. And if they medaled, you would get something else. Like if it was a gold medal, you might get all three, a whole nother meal. And if it's a bronze medal, maybe you just get fries. But the fries came with another sticker. Well, that was the year that like all the Soviet Union and Poland and like all their countries pulled out. So it was just fucking like America and Australia and England or something going for every medal. Dude, you'd order like some fries, open that baby. We got a gold in it, whole meal coming in. Now you got three more. And it would just like in perpetuity, you could eat as much as you want.
Wow.
As much as you please. You're sitting there.
We won like
food
every
down.
Event or medaled in every event.
That would be fun.
I saw where it was going a little bit viral. It was a picture of a Five Guys Burgers and Fries receipt. And it was a small hamburger, a small fry, small drink. And it was like $24.50 or something.
Damn. Yeah. That really, I've heard that ridiculous. Their prices would become too high.
For $24.50, even with like food prices the way they are, you could buy 2 pounds of ground beef and like 5 pounds of potatoes and the buns and most of the condiments for $24.50. You could make enough burgers and fries for 15 people for that, at least.
Yeah, Five Guys has never been that good. I've probably been there three times ever, and every time I've been like, this burger is aggressively unaesthetic. It's ugly. They're smashing it down. The meat's greasy and sopping into the bottom bun, compromising the structural integrity.
Who makes a good fast food burger?
Okay, well, I mean, everybody's going to say In-N-Out, and it's like game over.
I've never had In-N-Out.
In-N-Out's very good.
That's West Coast.
I had it two or three times.
There aren't a lot of great. I mean, Culver's, I guess they make a for a fast regional. Food burger. It's good. Oh yeah, Culver's is regional.
That? Oh, regional. I was gonna ask that.
That's a Midwest. Thing,
honestly, yeah. I think Hardee's and what Carl's Jr. is probably one of the more decent fast food burgers. If you don't like Burger King,
who makes the Angus burger? That was a long time
ago. That was them. They, you know what it was called? The $5 burger. And the idea was, this is a fancy fucking burger. It's a $5 burger. We sell it for $3.89 though. That was the whole thing.
I remember that.
And it was and like the meat wasn't those perfect circles like you get at McDonald's. It was clearly like a formed patty that had like differences around the perimeter, and it hung out over the buns. It was just like this huge and it came in a special box too, right? It's like you're getting something fancy here.
There was
it
a
better
big,
condiments.
I think you're
advertising
right
blitz. So I tried it once or twice.
Yeah.
Liked it, and then I found out how many calories are in it. I don't remember the number, but it was like double the Big Mac. It was like a very different thing. I was like, oh, this can't be a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember eating those. They were fucking good.
Yeah, I remember going. Yeah, that was like my
high
school
era. They had better
condiments.
Like they had good pickles, and they had I don't know, good condiments. Yeah,
not good tomatoes though. I've never had a good tomato from a fast food place.
But what I was saying the other day is Chick-fil-A needs to get into the burger gang because nobody does it like they do at their price point. They're like a Chick-fil-A sandwich and fries is like it's the same price across the board. Everybody's shit is like $11 or $12.
Even Chick-fil-A's tomatoes leave a lot to be desired.
Honestly, Taylor, I was thinking about it since you said it, and I'm like, I've never tomatoes. Had a good tomato from anyone but a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have never seen a farm make a good tomato.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, but tomatoes can be. I saw that King of the Hill just like 2 days ago where Hank joins the co-op and he like brings some tomatoes and meats home because he has to join a co-op in order to shop there. And they're eating the tomatoes and they're just like, my God. And he's like, Hank, you have to try these tomatoes. He's like, these are tomatoes. Everyone knows tomatoes have no flavor, Peg. And then he takes a bite and he's astounded by it. Because, yeah, like tomatoes.
What did he get say after he took a bite?
He was like, my God. Like that.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. Thank you for it. I appreciate
they lied
it.
To us.
We've been lied to. Yeah, it's like tomatoes. There's such a chasm between a delicious, fantastic garden. Like I used to eat them like apples out of my grandparents' garden. And I loved them. And then I would go get tomatoes somewhere else and be like, I could have sworn I liked these. And
yes.
No, just a flavorless water.
Did you see those fancy strawberries I sent? The pine berries?
I probably did. Yeah.
I think what they did is they made a hybrid between like Florida strawberries and Japanese white berries. And so they're called pine berries. And they're strawberries that are a little bit on the small side, but they taste like pineapple, I guess.
I'll try it.
Yeah, I want some of those.
Sounds good. I want to try one of those blue bananas that apparently tastes like a little vanilla-ish.
What?
Yeah, I think it's called a Java banana, maybe. It's like a bluish banana tint. Zach, pull up blue bananas. Yeah, it looks really good.
But not if it's a sex thing.
Not if it's a sex thing. But it's, it's supposed to taste like
vanilla. That's when you wrap a rubber band around the base of your cock and you don't. And you just exactly. leave it there until it turns it's huge chat. And blue. It looks just like this after the rubber band on your cock.
Dude, yeah, don't those look good? I bet those are delicious. Or I'm being scammed by a fucking viral post on Twitter. Mm. Blue Java bananas.
Well, those look blue. I don't know what the
I'm
inside.
Interested. I wouldn't be surprised if they were bland and flavorless or like firmer. Yeah. You know, banana is supposed to be a little squishy, not. Mm-hmm. Not gross, but
those cotton candy grapes were amazing. They make those fancy grapes now that taste like cotton candy.
I looked for those at the store like a year ago when you mentioned them, and my grocery store didn't have them, so I gave up.
They're really good. If you go on Instacart, you might be able to find them.
Zach says those bananas taste like vanilla ice cream. Oh no!
Ooh,
I get Walmart. Them.
And Walmart has them.
Really?
Walmart has them. Well, I don't trust Walmart's fucking vanilla flavored bananas. I want to go to like a guy. Like a guy who's like a banana guy? Well, a banana man or
they've got the grapes, he says. Walmart's got the grapes.
Well,
not the blue bananas.
Grapes are solid, but I'm a blue banana man. That's what I want. I aspire to be one someday.
I don't really want any fancy fruits.
No?
No.
Do you buy any fruit?
I thought they sold them on Amazon, but they sell the tree. It's going to be 7 years before I get a fucking
fuck that. There's no way they're that good.
You got to become a banana farmer to get one of these things? Yeah.
It's terrible.
Deal with all those scary spiders that live in the banana.
Oh, farm. Not banana spiders. You.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys ready to rap?
Yeah.
All right. PKN 499.
Banana